You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaki Hislop and Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, where Arsenal left it late, but they are top of the table overnight after beating Brentford by 2-1. A Declan Rice with a nice opener, but then a Ramsdale error would see Wissa make it 1-1. This is just before the break. In the end, it would be Kai Havertz who proved to be the hero on the night. Maybe he shouldn't have even been on the pitch. Could have got a second yellow for diving, but in the end, it's the German international who scores the winner, which means, certainly for now, Arsenal sit top of the table, one clear of Liverpool, two of Manchester City. They, of course, face off on Sunday. For more, let's welcome in Frank Lepore. Oh, Jan's got change. That's a shame. Now, boys, I know you're not on Twitter anymore. If you were and you followed Jan, you would see he's taken his big Norwegian trumpet out and blown it as loud as possible, saying, I was right about Havertz. Everybody else was wrong.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Was he saying that after he missed that chance in the first half?
Yes.
Yeah?
Jan, smug seems to be the word that comes to mind with you at the moment.
Yes, thank you. I take this as a compliment, but maybe it's lost in translation. But yes, Dan, you know I've been a fan of Kai Havertz since he played for Leverkusen, being the match winner for Chelsea in the Champions League. At the beginning of the season, when you all said he was not good enough, I said this is a fantastic signing. Till your next question, did he dive today? Yes, I think it was a dive. I'm with Xhaka, and he should have been sent off. But in the second half, Arsenal... Did they have 14 claims for penalties? I think they wanted to have penalties in every situation. I think the closest was Trossard, but I still didn't think that was a penalty either. So I think at the end of the day, it was fair that the cross and the header decided the game.
How did it get to this stage, Stevie? How did it get to Arsenal needing that late winner?
A little bit of good defending. I mean, Brentford got challenges in, they got headers away. I mean, at one stage, it seemed like every 10 seconds there was a corner for Arsenal. And the deliveries were brilliant. I mean, you talk about putting a goalkeeper and a defence under pressure. And really, they got the victory because of the pressure they put on for the majority of the game. You know, you had to keep your eyes on it because every now and again, Brentford would get themselves up the other end. And as we saw in the highlights, Ramsdale did have a couple of saves to make. But big picture is, in this game, the best team won.
Right.
And it was because of... It was because of belief and pressure. And when you put that much pressure on any team, eventually you either get a break or they make a mistake or you just get a good cross and a good header.
What do we learn from Arsenal and their title credentials from today's results, Frank?
Well, they're growing up. They get more experience. They know when it's difficult that this is going to happen. They're very much in confidence about their skills and they believe that they can achieve some things. That's very obvious for me. I can see that with Odegaard, you know, in the middle of the park, knowing exactly what he has to do, delivering everything for the others, maybe a little bit too much, but still, it's very efficient. And what I see from everywhere, it's an evolvement, a complete evolvement. I have to say that I'm very impressed with Ben White. We don't talk too much about him, but two assists today, since he's been put on the right side from Arteta, he's been a fantastic pair to Saka. And how they work together, especially today in the first half, but also a little bit in the second half, it's a different matter. Do you know that he's going to come? Yes, people are going to try to go around, but at the end of the day, it's the crosses who make the difference. I felt Arsenal in lots of pressure today because of the game tomorrow. Mm. But at the end of the day, they won. And it was about winning today. Was the only thing mattered.
Mm. Were you wrong about Ramsdale, Shaq? You said he should have been number one goalkeeper for the season.
I still think he's a better goalkeeper than David Raya. I think what you're seeing is a nervousness that's symptomatic of not playing. as I mentioned, this is his first league game since since the reverse fixture, in a game that he also looked particularly nervy in. I feel for him because he's now having these limited opportunities to try to find the rhythm of the game, to try to prove his worth. Not to Arteta, I think his time at Arsenal is now done, but he had written himself into Gareth Southgate's reckoning, the Euros to come this year. He, at the very least, is looking for a move, or will be looking for a move this summer, and has these limited opportunities to try to prove himself. And again, trying to play a game that Arteta is asking of him, that demands a lot. At the best of goalkeepers, playing high up behind your back four, being so comfortable and quick-minded when the ball is at your feet. And I just feel that the mistake is symptomatic of that. But then you see the saves that he does make. Mm. And personally, I don't think Raya makes those saves. Point being, though, that Raya doesn't make the initial mistake, so you don't need to rely on those saves to win the game. But there are he makes two or three saves that, including the Ivan Toney one, or in particular the Ivan Toney one, that I don't think Raya's getting to.
See, here's the problem, though. If you're Gareth Southgate and you watch this today, you're scoring him.
You can't. He's played a handful of games all year. Yeah. He's not going to get into a squad like England playing a handful of games. So I think that's kind of written out. But of course, if you're Aaron Ramsdale, you're still thinking, man, if I do really well here,
guys,
you know, especially the likes of Pope being injured, etc. Okay. You understand?
Hello.
No,
yeah, sorry. I think. No, so, go on, Jan. Go on.
Go, Frank. Now go, Frank. You're the world champion.
We are being a little bit harsh on Ramsdale in a way that I saw something that I barely saw with Raya, or almost never saw with Raya, is the fact that when he gets the ball, how fast he can be in counter-attack. He's the first attacker to this team, and he showed it in the first half when he threw the ball to Trossard. I like that, because it's another tool to the Arsenal team. And I find it very interesting, on top of the two saves that he made in the second half. So, yeah, he made that mistake. It's a terrible mistake. It could have cost a lot to the Gunners. But at the end of the day, as Shaka said, it's symptomatic to somebody who doesn't play enough. And that's why it happened.
Go on, Jan.
I think that we should give some compliment to Ramsdale, how he's behaved all season. Mm-hmm. On Monday, I did Sheffield United Arsenal and the box where we are doing all the interviews is just outside the Arsenal dressing room. He was second goalkeeper, no chance that he will get on. He was sitting there in the corridor doing all the different kind of exercises, being prepared for what is on. And then I will put on another thing. Yes, that the rhythm, there's been a lack of rhythm. But you could ask, for the sake of discussing it, should Arteta in all these games where they're winning 3-0 or 4-0 or 5-0 or 6-0, why didn't he get minutes? Before the season, he said that I want to rotate them. We all knew that will never going to be happen. But I think that is the case to think of. Why hasn't he got any minutes? Because everybody knew, we knew that he had to play against Brentford now. And so I think that is quite interesting. And I also think it's interesting to see that he, after that mistake, he's playing a very good game. I'm with Frank, I'm with Xhaka. The way he is offensive, try to get Arsenal going, it's impressive. So, and don't write him off for the England squad. I think that he have an outside chance to come there, because with that kind of attitude, that is a human being, a person you like to have in your squad.
Doesn't make any sense, Shaq.
I tell you why I don't think Arteta is rotating as much as he said he would or he should. I'm still not overly convinced that he is absolutely sold on David Raya. I think David Raya is playing well right now, but it's a fragile confidence because he's not a shot stopper, because his strength is the ball at his feet, and remember how much he struggled with that early on, and now all of a sudden he's found his rhythm. You don't want to break that. You don't want to break that with David Raya. And a couple of weeks ago, I think this might have been when I was in Trinidad, Mikel Arteta did this interview, and he's saying, if I have to tell you Raya's strengths, well, then, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you.
Right.
So, I mean, what is that? What are you seeing? You know, so all that to me just says that there is still this, while it's settled that Raya is the number one, I think there's still an uncertainty about him long term if Arsenal are going to keep competing at this level.
Yeah, and from what we saw today, did it make you think that Arsenal are more or less likely to win the title?
More likely.
Really?
Because I think that, yeah, because what I think they showed something today that they will patient to the end. Yes, there was a right team that won, but we saw Brentford had two great chances at 1-1. But another point as well, I had my son at Emirates today and he kept sending me messages saying the atmosphere at Emirates is getting so good at the moment. And we can hear it also at the game. I think that that is an added advantage to them. I think that Arteta is not only doing a good job for the club on the pitch, but everything in and around now. I think they've taken a step based on last season when they were the title challenger. The only thing is, and I don't think that we should forget that, yes, they're scoring a lot of goals, but the main thing to have a number nine is to score that decisive 1-0 goal in the big, big games. And that is the only... I'm still not convinced that Arsenal, they're there. But I think they've taken steps, Dan.
Same question to you. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I don't, there's no question Arsenal are better this year than they were last year. And there's no question they're in the title race. Unfortunately, the one thing that against them is that until it's in their hands, we won't know whether...
Well, isn't they it?
No, it's not.
They win every game.
Man City, wins tomorrow.
They face Man City, don't they? At the end of the month. Yeah. So Arsenal win every game, they're done. They're fine. They're champions.
That is possible. So I guess that's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
As I said, there's no question they are better.
No, that's not true.
Because Liverpool can win every game. That's true, Frank.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, Frankie, it's been a while, but he was trying to be a wee smarty pants.
I wasn't being a wee smarty pants. Okay. I think it's fair to say, that, if Arsenal win every game between now and the end of the season, will they be champions?
Listen, Arsenal, no question, are up there in the hunt.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's... That's not even a doubt. No.
Well, that's what you asked me.
No, I asked you if today makes any difference with regards to if they're more or less likely to win the title from what you saw from them.
Well, if you want to be smart, I'll say yeah, because they won. No.
Why are you being so defensive about this? Just so you're worried about Arsenal.
Arsenal are in the title race.
Yeah, I know, that's not what I asked.
What did you ask then?
I asked exactly what I just asked. From that win today and the spirit they showed, it doesn't make them more likely?
Well, we knew exactly that's what they are. They showed us today what we already knew. So they're not any more or any less likely.
All right, grumpy. Meanwhile, of course, tomorrow he could be even grumpier, as it is Liverpool against Manchester City at Anfield. A huge game, of course, regarding the title race. And Manchester City going to the tie at Anfield as favourites. Pep Guardiola talked about the threat from both Arsenal and Liverpool ahead of this game.
Arsenal is already there. Last season was the biggest rival, not Liverpool. And look how they're playing. So Liverpool needs more than 90 minutes to win the games. We need sometimes more than 90 minutes to win the games. Arsenal need 25 minutes to win the games. So
that was in press conference.
Arsenal is already there.
Ahead of the game, there he is again. What do you make of that?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
It's a strange comment, isn't it?
He doesn't want to not answer the question.
Right.
And he's trying to fluff around it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you agree, Jan?
Yeah. No? Yes, I do, but I understand what he tried to say. He says before the game, he's asked and they talk about, is this a title decided tomorrow? But he sees Arsenal up there as well, and lately they have been winning games for fun. So that's what he's saying. But I think that... I think both Klopp and Pep has tried this week to say that we're not having a final tomorrow. This is not the final of the Premier League. It's just a final maybe of some confidence. And because it's the last game, Klopp and Pep will meet after doing that for 8.5 years here in England. So I think it's all about just getting the expectations down a bit. I guess that's a part of the manager's job.
Let's take a look then at everyone's predictions ahead of the game. I'm the only one going for a Liverpool win. Jan and Stevie going for a Manchester City victory. Meanwhile, Shaka and Frank going for a draw. Liverpool legend Steve Nicol doesn't back his side.
Do you know, I think the Kanate thing is really important. I think it's the difference between Liverpool getting something from this right. game and not getting anything. Because they are going to have to be at their very best. Because there is no doubt the Liverpool are going to press the ball high. And if they're on their game and they can do that successfully, then they may win the game. But if they don't do it successfully, then there's going to be a lot of space for City to run into and run at Liverpool's back line. And so the fact that Kanate almost certainly isn't going to be there is a huge problem. That's the reason I've gone from Liverpool getting a result to Man City actually winning this game.
Shaka, draw.
Yeah, I still think this is a flawed Manchester City, though you could make the argument, still the best team in the league. But this isn't a great Manchester City. And this is Liverpool at Anfield. And I think that carries huge value coming into this one. In these big occasions, I think that's when Anfield is at its best. I think Liverpool respond. I don't think they're good enough to win the game, but they get a draw.
And you agree, Frank?
I totally agree. For the same reason that I say it would be a draw. And I disagree a little bit with Stevie because I think Konate can be a problem if he doesn't play. But I saw Gomez being very, very good lately. And he can step up. He can do the job. He knows the house. He knows the game. He knows everything. And right now, he's good. He's not maybe as good as Konate. But he can do the job very well. And so he should give to Stevie a little bit more confidence about the issue of the game.
Not centre-back, though, Frank. He's played a lot lately, but he hasn't played centre-back. That's my issue. And he's a guy who is absolutely perfect where he is right now, that he can come in and play two or three games. But the longer he plays, from what I've seen, mistakes creep in. He's perfect to come off the bench or give somebody a rest. All of those reasons. He's not a starter. I don't believe he should start in Liverpool's best 11. So at centre back, no. He's done well at full back. He's done well going into the middle of the park. But at centre back, no.
Jan, of course you're in a Liverpool hotel ahead of this game. You're going for a City win.
Yes, I do. And I will say just for Liverpool, they are so ready for the game here. I was at Anfield this afternoon doing some stuff. There were people all over the place. So this is a football fever here, as it always is for these big games. My thing is based on more or less also respect for Liverpool, because I think it's unbelievable how Klopp has managed, with all the injuries, with key players out, he has still managed to make a united team, so to say. Even on Thursday, they just go away in the Europa League with a great result. They're coming back. Everything's go as planned for them. I think that, not to be found out, but when they're playing the best team in the world, maybe this is the time when they can't do that anymore. But I never know. I've been doing so many Pep against Klopp games over the years, also in the Champions League, and I've seen the ability Klopp has had over the years to kind of surprise the professor. Will come with A, B, C, D plan, and Klopp is coming with an intense A plan. So I'm not 100% sure on that result, but my result is based on that.
While you were at Anfield, Jan, you sound a bit shady when you were talking about that.
No, shady?
Yeah.
I went there?
Yeah.
No, I just went up there. You know, I'm a great runner, as you've seen many times. I was running the 50. It was 50 minutes running. That was a bit long for me. But then I ended up at Anfield, and I took a taxi back.
Very good. Very good.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Manchester United in the early game on Saturday beat Everton by 2-0. Both goals coming from penalties, both in the first half. Bruno Fernandes converting his. Marcus Rashford also scoring from the spot as United win by 2-0. Shut up, Stevie, and your criticism of Ten Hag.
Listen, I think you just need to watch the programme from the other night. I mean, they were horrible to watch, Man United. They really were. I mean, they're playing against Everton. We're playing against a side who are absolutely going to be in a relegation battle and have been in one the whole season, but yet they get outshot. It's 50% with the possession. I mean, just incredible. I mean, this is Old Trafford. This is Man United, and a team that may get relegated is outshooting you at Old Trafford. And you're playing the breaking game against a team that's going to get relegated. Come on.
You take a look at this, Shaq. It's quite telling, isn't it, when you take a look at the number of shots they've conceded in their last six matches.
Listen, it's no secret that Manchester...
Look at the opposition. They're pretty rubbish.
They are. And we've spoken about that in detail. In fairness, in this game, 23 shots for Everton. But I never felt like Onana made a save that was out of this world. But that's more a testament to Everton's struggles. We've known who Manchester. Well, we've known how poor a team they can be. We've kind of questioned exactly what's Ten Hag's strategy, what's Manchester United's identity here. At least today, you kind of saw who they are. Get the ball wide, let Rashford and Garnacho run your opposing defence. So at least you knew what was coming in that regard. The fact is that it's Old Trafford. It's a team that are far too close to the bottom four, and that this is what you resort to. That's another story. But it's not a great United team. But they get
up early for this one, Shaq?
Huh?
Were you excited to get up early for this?
Well, you know I'm an early riser, Dan.
Yeah, right.
I enjoy the sunrise.
Frank, did you watch this game?
I did, and I wouldn't say that I enjoyed, but it was a pleasant game overall. I mean, the first 20 minutes, I think. Yeah, well, you know, I tried to be optimistic a little bit. I mean, I saw, when you have like 23 shots from the opponent and, you know, 18 from Manchester, or I don't know how many. I think it's an open game, and you want to see action, you want to see some stuff. I saw Garnacho on fire. I mean, I love that kid. He has no shame, no shyness. He goes for it. And it's very, very interesting. And that was of course, the best game ever. But it was something to look at. And And I think Manchester, at the end of the day, deserved to win that game. And they believed they didn't have a good first 20 minutes, but they were capable of scoring during that time where they struggled because of that young guy. So overall, you know, again, I didn't have the idea or the feeling that I was wasting my time watching that game. So that's not too bad.
Jan, you were too busy running to watch the game. However, of course, there is still, if you want to try and push it, talk that Manchester United might make a top four. I think you'd be a brave man to put any sort of money on that. Tomorrow's really interesting as well, of course, before the big game at Anfield. At Villa Park, it's Aston Villa against Spurs. What a huge game that is.
Yeah, but it is. But just note that Manchester United at the moment are 3 points behind Tottenham. And although it's Germany, the Bundesliga, I guess at this point, have the fifth position in the Champions League. They could end up having five teams in the Champions League. But what I think it's that is one point. But much more interesting is that what will these kind of results do for the future job for Ten Hag? Will he stay for another season? If we can do analysis on the 6-7 last games, then I can assure you that Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Sir Brailsford will do the same. And I'm worried for Ten Hag if this is the way they are progressing. Sometimes Ten Hag, or sometimes, nearly every game, he's talking the game into some kind of world-class game, which it is not. So it's quite interesting to see how Manchester United will do it. But still, it's not. We should not underestimate the skill of winning games. It's not a bad skill.
Frank, I've been told that's it for you now. You're going. Wow. That's a nice day.
Pleasant.
Oh, you know what?
Pleasant.
I'm sorry, you know, I just do what people ask me to do, and after I go to bed.
Oh, lovely. Well, enjoy your bed, Frank. That's good to know.
Au revoir.
Just a reminder, some big games today, of course, regarding the bottom of the table. You take a look at what else happened. Bournemouth can only manage a 2-2 draw against Sheffield United. Meanwhile, Palace won, Luton won, is how it finished at Selhurst Park, and Wolves got a 2-1 victory over Fulham. Next week, our focus will very much be on the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Saturday sees Wolves against Coventry, followed by Manchester City, Newcastle. Then on Sunday, Chelsea against Leicester. Then a big one at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Liverpool. All those games live on ESPN+. Quite the day for Bayern Munich, but in a positive way for a change. They would thrash Mainz by 8-1. The highlight, Harry Kane getting another hat-trick. What that means is, for the moment, Bayern Munich are 7 points behind Bayer Leverkusen, who are in action on Sunday. Jan is still with us. Jan, all is well with the world.
All is well in Bayern. They're winning against Lazio 3-0, and now it's 8-1 against Mainz. They're looking for a new coach. Maybe they should try out this Thomas Tuchel guy. He's doing well. It's unbelievable what's going on at Bayern now. I mean, the journalists, the people who have criticized Tuchel, they say, yeah, but now he's doing what we say he should do. He should play Thomas Müller all the time. He should put Kimmich on the right side. He should always play with De Ligt, and so on and so on. But the thing is that when you see the team of Bayern, it's just been sad that they haven't taken out the potential. But we've all been in a dressing room, and we know that when there is some kind of decision, some kind of new thing happen, that can kind of give more energy to different things. But I must say, today, I watched this game closely, of course, 9 goals and the other goals better than the other. I mean, for me, yes, Gnabry's goal, fantastic, circus kind of thing. But that pass from Harry Kane, I mean, that's brilliant. And another player who has been very criticized lately, and they're talking about him not being in a German squad, being out of that now for the March games, was Goretzka. For me, he was man of the match. He had a great game today, involved in so many goals as well. So all the big compliment to him.
Yeah, big compliment to him. And of course, Harry Kane, who's breaking records left, right and centre, isn't he? Most goals in his debut season in the Bundesliga. He's now on 30 as he matches Sealer. He, of course, you would expect to go on and break that. But will he be able to catch Robert Lewandowski between now and the end of the season? Ooh. 41, of course, is the total single season record. Is he going to break it, Jan?
I think he will. He has to score 12 goals in 9 games. Mm. He will do that because Bayern is on fire now. I'm not saying, I mean, how many, I've been with you guys now for 4 or 5 years. I think we always have made some kind of hope. But this year, I think now we can say that maybe Leverkusen could win it. But I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure till I see it. But I think that he will get enough chances. He will get his penalties. And when Bayern is on fire, they can score 4 or 5 in every game. They are so much better than the other teams when they're playing like they did today. They played against Lazio as well. Not they were spectacular against Lazio, but they're creating a lot of chances. So I think he could beat that record, that Lewandowski record, that beat an unbeatable record of Gerd Müller. Mm. So that's just saying what Harry Kane is doing at the moment in Germany.
More likely than not, Shaq, do you feel he's going to break this record?
I feel so. Yeah. I think, and to Jan's point, this is a Bayern team that all of a sudden are playing with a sense of freedom. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of pressure, even though, yes, Leverkusen are still within, well, reaching distance. But you know that Tuchel isn't going to be there. And kind of almost in what we've seen with Barcelona, there's the team are just going out and playing with a freedom that you just wonder, where was this for the last 7 or 8 months? And as long as they do that, and chances continue to fall Harry Kane's way, dollies or not, you know he's going to put them away.
What do you think?
I can't get my head around that you're going to outdo somebody like Gerd Müller and Lewandowski and not win the league.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Doesn't seem...
yeah, it does.
A bit weird.
Yeah, but of course it still counts, doesn't it?
Of course it does. Yeah.
There we go. Jan, just any news on the new manager?
They want Alonso, desperate to get Alonso. Last week, they got a new head of sport, Max Eberl. He tried to get him to Gladbach back in the day, so he's still number one. They say they're waiting for a signal from Alonso. I don't think they will get that before the title decider is done. Jose Mourinho, well, got an outside chance. Nagelsmann and Flick, I mean, Bayern used to take back managers they've had before, like Hitzfeld and Heinkes. Mm. I'm not sure. Zinedine Zidane can't speak English, can't speak German. I can't see that happening. So Sebastian Hoeneß, who is not on the list, his uncle is Uli Hoeneß. He was a big candidate, but last week he extended his contract at Stuttgart. So maybe he has a clause or something, but I can't see that happening now.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Jadon Sancho was on the score sheet as Borussia Dortmund beat Werder Bremen by 2-1 as they're looking to solidify a place in the Champions League next season. Tell us about Jadon Sancho, Jan.
Well, we have seen for a long time now not the best of Jadon Sancho. You described it well there, saying that was vintage. That's how we saw him when he was having his breakthrough for Dortmund and everybody wanted him. We just need to see that more often. The last games has more or less saved Terzic's job. I think they need Sancho in form to make sure that they are top four. Mm. After Stuttgart, Leverkusen, Bayern, between them and RB Leipzig, you will get the fourth position. And we talked about maybe the fifth position will give them Champions League as well. But they need a Sancho on form. And it's quite interesting to follow because what will happen to him next season? Will, if eventually a new manager, if there comes a new manager at Manchester United, will they take him back? Or Sir Jim Ratcliffe was talking about Sancho, and so what's the plan? But I guess for him, it's just about enjoy his football and do things like it did today. Danny is one of the most tricky wingers around.
Three matches for you on Sunday, including Bayer Leverkusen against Wolfsburg, as Xavi Alonso's side look to go one step closer to winning the title. Inter continue their incredible record. Another victory, making it 13 in a row. They're home and hosed, aren't they, at the top of Serie A, where their focus now turns on to the trip to the Spanish capital. They are huge favourites to go through, according to ESPN Bet. 9-2 on. Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid coming in at 14-5. Remember, Inter have a 1-0 lead going into that second leg at the Metropolitano. Are those odds reflective, Stevie, if you would judge this game?
I think Inter are favours. I don't think they're that big. I mean, we're talking about Atletico Madrid, the ultimate spoilers. Mm. Now, it seems like a long time since they were the ultimate spoilers, but I think that's too much. But there's no question, Inter, for me, are the favourites.
What was wrong with Atleti today?
What was wrong? What was right? Absolutely nothing. They were awful. It seems like without Griezmann, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
There's no
focal point.
There's no invention at all. There's no little passages of play together. There's no understanding. It's almost like they've been flung together. And I think if you add, you know, if we think of Madrid, certainly when I think of Atletico Madrid, I think of their defending. That's disappeared.
Right.
That's completely gone. They can't keep a clean sheet for love nor money. So they're playing against a proper team. They're pretty much in disarray. Griezmann, I don't think he's going to be available for this game. I don't see how they win the game. I don't see it.
I'm with Stevie in that, yeah, I think, given Inter's form in particular, they're favourites. But talking about Atletico Madrid in Madrid and a one goal deficit right now. So the question then becomes, how do Inter approach this game certainly to start with? Do they go out and attack Atletico Madrid? Do they sit back and defend that one goal lead and kind of invite the pressure from Atletico Madrid? I think the first 15 minutes will absolutely be key as to how this is decided at the end. But right now, just given everything you've seen from Inter, it's hard to make an argument against them.
Meanwhile, of course, the La Liga continues tomorrow. Real Madrid with a chance to re-establish a bigger lead at the top of the table. They take on Celta Vigo. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Meanwhile, Real Betis against Villarreal is our late game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, the Eredivisie continues on ESPN Plus tomorrow. Three games for you, including Ajax against Fortuna Sittard. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show.
You're going to give yourself a clap there.
Check out all those done, everyone. Splendid effort. Yeah, man. Stay with us.
Oh, God.
Well, welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka and Stevie are here with us in the studio. Jan Arge Fjortoff has been tweeting up a storm since Kai Havertz scored the winner for Arsenal.
It's March, isn't it?
Say again?
It's March, isn't it?
What do you mean it's March?
Well, the season started when?
starting August.
August.
Yeah.
Oh, he's only just stopped.
A bit of time.
He's only just stopped tweeting about Italy winning the Euros.
Yeah. That's the only. The first question is, how could Jan know the first weeks of the season that Havertz will be a great signing?
Who sent that? Yeah.
This is from Jan. Yes.
Well done, Jan.
Yes. To which I wanted to respond, how is Mo Salah getting on in Saudi Arabia, Jan? But I thought that would be a bit...
I can't hear you. There's something wrong with the connection. I can't hear you.
Yes, exactly, Jan. So I thought it was the French who were the humble ones, not the Norwegians.
We are on so much self-confidence at the moment, Dan.
Yes.
You know what happened today? This is very... need to be explained. Okay. We have this Eurovision Song Contest in Europe.
Yes.
That every country have a song. Yes. And then at the end of in May, we will have a winner for all Europe. Today, a Norwegian band won the Swedish one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. ABBA, go to bed, ABBA.
Go to bed, ABBA. Sit down. Have you seen the ABBA hologram show that's going around, Jan?
I haven't, but I would love to see it. I am an ABBA fan.
Oh, really? Wow, I suppose it's about your era. Stevie? What were you going to say?
I forgot what I was
going to say. I'm still to go now. Oh, Jan wrote it.
No, Norway were always last.
In the Eurovision.
No, we won. No,
always.
This is not true anymore. UK is so bad in the Eurovision Song Contest. They don't even get a point after Brexit. They don't get even a point.
No, it's all political.
Politics.
For the panel, after watching Arsenal in recent weeks, are we still questioning Arteta and Edu's judgment on players and improvements to the team after an adaptation period? Rea and Kai seem like excellent signings. This isn't from Jan. I feel this is directed at you, Shaka.
Why? Critical of both. Yeah. Listen, I...
Kai? Who's Kai? Is that Kai Iwona?
Kai Havertz.
That tells you all. That tells you all.
Obviously, for Jan, not you.
As I said during the show, I still think Ramsdale is the better of the two goalkeepers. I stand by that. Havertz has been... a whole lot better, and it speaks to players and managers who just show confidence.
He's moved up into a different position, hasn't he?
But we've seen him play there and disastrously. Okay. But he's to be fair to him, he's everything that Arsenal needs him to be. The thing with Kai is that it's so he could have been sent off, and we're having a totally different conversation. About Kai Havertz.
Still a good signing. Still a good signing.
Hold on, 65 million.
Well, once again, he gets sent off.
Who are you, Jeff?
If Kai Havertz gets sent off and Brentford go on to win, we are having a totally different
Jan's
conversation.
Not tweeting up a storm then,
No, he's not. He's still talking about Italy. That's the difference. And that's the thing with Kai Havertz, you know. He gives you these great moments, but then he just gives you these moments that leave you scratching your head.
No, you're still... you just want to confirm your narrative from the beginning of the season. Oh. Kai Havertz is a great signing of Arsenal, and he's managed to do what you guys said at the beginning of the season he couldn't do. And Kai, who is Kai, Steve?
What did he do?
So, let's go on.
Oh. What did he do?
He scored the winner in a big game.
Oh, is it a good game? Oh. Let's forget the last 8 months.
Well, he's got the last five games now, hasn't he?
Four goals last three games.
What? Couldn't wait to tell that to me. Jeez, couldn't wait to get that.
Knew you were going to say that.
No, yeah. Couldn't wait to get it in.
Meanwhile, this isn't from Jan, but it's not very nice. Will Shaka admit he was 100% wrong in criticising Arteta for benching Ramsdale for Raya? Or will that hurt his ego too much?
Yeah.
When you think of Shaka, you think of ego.
All the people on this panel.
Once again, for the third time, I still think Ramsdale is the better of the two goalkeepers.
You're arrogant. Just
is that what it is?
Yes, Shaka. You can never admit when you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. Expression.
That's not true.
This is from Desha Hislop.
she knows that's not true. Yeah. I live in a house with a wife and four daughters. I'm wrong all the time. I've come to realise.
Right. For Stevie, this is easy. I know exactly what you're going to say for this. Start, bench, drop. Hansen, Carragher, Van Dijk.
Go on, answer it.
Well, you're going to go Hansen, Van Dijk, Carragher?
Yeah.
I don't think Carragher even deserves to be in that triumphant.
Listen, he did
what?
He did well.
Carragher doesn't really deserve to be in that one.
Nose free.
Triumphant. Carragher doesn't deserve to be in that triumphant.
Yes. Yeah, would you like to add anything?
I'm seeing Jamie tomorrow, so I would say we have to.
Oh, you and him had a big Twitter spat, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We had this celebration kind of. Jamie turned into a celebration police.
Oh, yes.
Which I don't like. So I'll see him tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, but then you had to go. But then he brought up Mo Salah. Oh, it will haunt you forever, yeah.
Yeah, and I answered quite good, I think. He started with a poet of Cantona, didn't he?
Yes.
Jamie. So,
yes.
But we made up. We are friends again.
Oh, that's boring. Right, Jan, you concentrate. It's a big question, OK? You might need your glasses.
OK, I'll take off my glasses.
There you are. OK, Jan, if it weren't for the job Alonso is doing with Leverkusen, Hoeneß would easily be manager of the year in the Bundesliga with a miracle he's achieved with Stuttgart, from almost being relegated last season to a Champions League position this season. Do you agree?
It's a very good question. It's a very good analysis. Sebastian Hoeneß has done a fantastic job for Stuttgart. He's more or less done exactly the same thing that Alonso have done, but it's a bit like everything you can do, I can do better, because Alonso has done it based also on his football background. He has played for Liverpool, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. He is Alonso, he has won everything. But in Germany, there is a big, big praise for Sebastian Hoeneß. And he was rewarded at Stuttgart last week. They extended his contract and so on and so on. He's a big candidate still, I think, for Bayern Munich. If they can't get Hoeneß, if they can't get Alonso, I think Hoeneß could be a surprise choice. Ooh. I guess that just to make this a bit more complicated, the godfather at Bayern Munich is Uli Hoeneß. That's his uncle.
Okay.
His agent is Dieter Hoeneß, his father. Mm. And yeah, so you know the drill.
Wow.
So what's the outcome then? Is that going to go against them or for them?
I think that they will kind of end up, if they get with Hoeneß, it's because they can't get the big names, and they will get someone. And the way he has done this season, just by Gerassi, Undav, scoring goals for fun. So I'm not sure that would have been a bad choice of Bayern. But
so I guess I guess the question is, are people in Germany, if he gets a job, going to go, hold on a minute?
It's nepotism.
His dad and his uncle. I mean, is that how they're going to see it? Are they going to look at just the football and say, you know what? He actually deserves it. What way is it going to go?
I think there is, if they're going to get him, it's if they're going to go for him, they will first have to go for a couple of great names, big names. I think they will miss out on Alonso. And then maybe they can, based on what he's done this season, Stevie, he deserves to get that position. But as you were saying, 50% would say he just get it because of his relation to El Padre.
For Jan, which Leverkusen is better? Or do you prefer Leverkusen 2002 with all the stars, or the young Leverkusen team of nowadays?
Also a very good question. This was a time when they could have won the Bundesliga, they could have won the FA Cup in Germany and the Champions League. Playing that, remember that Zinedine Zidane goal? I think it was in Glasgow.
Yes.
A fantastic goal. They had Ballack. They had a great, great team. But I think that this team they have this season, based on the strategy, the tactic of Alonso, is even better. And I think that Florian Wirtz, he doesn't have to hide behind any of this, or a Schalke this season. They don't have to hide behind the stars from 2002. It at the time where they were called Leverkusen, because they could never win.
Oh dear. Final question, Stevie. What can United do to stop conceding 20 plus shots in a match?
Well, I think they can get the middle of the park to defend better. You know, Casemiro seems to be running in sand at the moment.
Right.
Bruno Fernandes doesn't particularly help a great deal. And I can't make my mind up about Maynou. I think, without a shadow of a doubt, on the ball, he looks so mature for his age on the ball. I can't figure out whether it's him or what's going on around him, because I really don't see him defending an awful lot. I don't see him making interceptions, and I don't see him maybe breaking up plays. But again, I can't decide just from watching the TV whether that's a problem or not. But certainly on the ball, he's matured beyond his years.
Well, tomorrow's all about Liverpool, isn't it, against Manchester City. Jan, are you going to run to Anfield like you did today?
No, I won't catch the game, I think. I will never do that again. But it was quite... I have to say, Stevie, it was quite interesting to run through Liverpool. I saw places that I've never seen before in Liverpool, and I like Liverpool. It's a good city.
I wonder if you went the same route as me. I remember walking home one Saturday night, early in the morning, from Liverpool. Because I used to live by Anfield. Me and Eleanor had to walk home one night.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't take. I don't think it took us 50 minutes.
Okay.
And we were walking.
It depends.
I think we might have gone a different route, of course.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Stevie's back. You're not on tomorrow's show?
No, I'm not.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm doing La Liga game tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
So I'll be here,
but. Do you know what the game is?
La Liga game.
Real Madrid against Celta Vigo, I believe.
Is it?
I think so,
yeah,
Jack.
There you go.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.